Hello, welcome to the latest episode of the Sports Report Podcast. I'm Alejandro.
I'm Aiden.
And I'm Billy.
On today's episode, we'll be discussing several themes from the sports world, including the NCAA tournament, the NFL, the NBA, and some stuff from the soccer world. We'll start off with Aiden and the NFL.
So Rob Gronkowski has retired at the age of 29. His agent has not ruled out a return for the coming seasons, but obviously a huge blow to the Patriots and their offense. Billy?
Yeah, so this is a really big blow to the Patriots offense and their team overall and their leadership, as Aiden said. It leaves them with big holes at the tight end position and overall the wide receiver position. Their biggest weapon right now is Julian Edelman. And wide receivers, they don't really have much more. As we said in prior episodes, they only signed Bruce Ellington. Some other guys, I can't even remember their names, really. Their tight ends, Matt Lacoste, who they just signed, and they have Jacob Hollister and Steven Anderson, who are career backup tight ends. So they really need to get a new tight end. And you'd think that they'd look and free agency, possibly get another tight end, Jared Cook, when Gronk retired. There was rumors that he was right there. He was going to sign with the Saints. But there was still opportunity that the Patriots were still in on him. But ultimately, he did sign with the Saints. So Patriots, they need to fill that tight end position. And they need to fill their weapons. Through the draft, I think, is how they're going to do that. Because you got Irv Smith Jr., who's projected out of Alabama, who's projected a first-round pick. He's a tight end. You got TJ Hawkinson out of Iowa, first-round pick projection. And Noah Fant, tight end, first-round pick projection. They have the 32nd pick. One of those guys are going to fall down there. I don't care what anybody says. One of them are going to go down there. And the Patriots will have to look to draft one of them, maybe even a wide receiver like N'Keal Harry from Arizona State, just to get a weapon for Tom Brady, because right now you have Julian Edelman and you're relying on Josh Gordon to come back, as we've said multiple times. I mean, we're not even sure yet. I don't know if Belichick knows something, but that's going to be the fallout of the Gronk retirement, and that could either – the Gronk retirement can either kind of – not impact the Patriots as much. Vegas has the same odds of them winning the Super Bowl even after. They said that they updated and they said they're going to keep out the same odds. So for people in the betting worlds like that. But Gronk retiring, I think, is going to have a major impact on the Patriots.
Yeah.
And even if they draft a young tight end, that's pretty good. It's going to be really rough for them.
Yeah, especially seeing the amount of blocking Gronk was doing for Sony Michel and the running backs.
And they just got rid of Dwayne Allen to Miami.
Yeah, Dwayne Allen left, and they really – not only do they need a receiving tight end, but they now also need a tight end who can block as well.
Yeah. They might have – they have Hollister, who's more of a wide receiver type of guy. He's not a big guy. He's like 6'2". I might be saying that wrong, but I don't know a lot about him. But he's a receiving guy. He has shown flashes in preseason that he can do well, but I just don't see it going really anywhere with Hollister as the starting tight end. They're not going to be able to hold their Super Bowl caliber team with him there. So some more news coming out of the NFL this week. This was an interesting one, I thought, to me. Mm-hmm. Adam Gase, who is the former coach of the Miami Dolphins, now coaching the New York Jets. Apparently last season, he was interested in training for Matthew Stafford, the quarterback for Detroit last year. That's per the Miami Herald. So a pretty reliable source. I don't know if Rappaport or Adam Schefter reported on this to clarify, but that's out of the Miami Herald. So Adam Gase, now the head coach of the Jets, was looking for Matthew Stafford, I guess, to replace Ryan Tannehill, which I think if Matthew Stafford went to Miami, he would be pretty good. But I don't think Matt Patricia would have given him up necessarily, because he's a franchise caliber quarterback. I don't care what you say. He is franchise caliber. They're paying him a lot of money. They would have to give up like mind blowing amounts of picks if they would want Matthew Stafford, something like 4, 3, things like that. Franchise quarterbacks are valued very highly, and Matthew Stafford would be a great addition to Miami. I'd love to see him in Miami. I don't think he's going to spend his whole career in Detroit, and I don't see Detroit really going anywhere. And didn't see Detroit going anywhere last year. This year, maybe. They might, with the Vikings kind of not being as good. And Packers, I don't think, are going to do that well. Bears are still up there, but they could do something. But I really don't see Stafford doing much. And for Miami, I think he wouldn't do much either. He's always kind of that quarterback that's in the middle tier. He's never really been a high-level quarterback. So,
yeah.
News from there.
Moving on to the whole Robert Kraft
scandal.
He has entered a not guilty plea, and I did some research. So I was kind of questioning why he did that, seeing that he was offered a plea deal. And
where he'd have to be community service and stuff, which he already basically does.
What I'm assuming his lawyers have uncovered is that when the police department requested to look into this situation and look at the tapes and like the security footage, they requested to monitor and record the security footage.
Yeah.
The judge granted them to monitor the security footage.
Mm-hmm.
They went on to monitor and record, and they were not given
against.
Permission to record.
Yeah.
So with this disobeying of the judge, I guess you could say, that might change the ruling and they might have to drop the charges seeing that they disobeyed the rule of the court.
Yeah. Kraft also lawyered up big time. You got a lot of big lawyers from down there and things like that. So it will be interesting to see how that turns out. I'm not sure when they go to court for that, but should be interesting to see what happens to that. Patriots might lose a few picks, possibly, if he was found guilty or things like that, but I think ultimately probably won't be found guilty at all.
He also he requested to go on trial in front of a jury instead of a judge.
Oh.
I'm not really sure about why he did that one, but
yeah.
He must have some reason because he's got some of the best lawyers around.
Yeah. I think even if he was guilty, you know, famous people seem to get away with it a lot.
Yeah.
And for stuff like this, I think he would probably. But even then, his name is still hurt. Even if he wasn't involved in it, like, at all, for real, or if he did do it and he's found not guilty, his name is still tarnished right now.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a long time for it to rebound. And New England fans' minds, I'm sure that's – I'm sure they still love him and things like that, but for people around, it's just adding to the hate of the Patriots, and there's more people turning against them, and I don't see it as a good thing for the NFL at all, really.
Yeah.
Because their brand, Robert Kraft, one of the biggest representations of their brand, is being found doing bad things and things like that, so it's just not good for the NFL, and I'm sure they would want him to be not guilty, as much as people think Goodell hates the Patriots and things like that.
Yeah. Really about keeping the reputation and the name of the NFL intact, seeing that obviously they have not done very well in the past couple of years.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on to the Arizona Cardinals, who have been very interesting under new young head coach Cliff Kingsbury, who is part of the McVay revolution, the hiring of head coaches who are very offensive-minded. Apparently, because of his young, new-age things, he's thinking of new things to try to relax players or something. Apparently, he is – this is per SB Nation. He is allowing cell phone breaks during team meetings. Very, very questionable.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm not sure – what a team meeting really looks like, because I don't play football.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that, depending on how long the team meetings might be, it might make sense. But if it's only an hour or 30 minutes, your player should be able to sit through a meeting as adults and professional players.
They're grown men. They should be able to go through film and things like that without looking at their phones and things like that.
I mean, technically, this is your job.
Yeah.
And in a job, you're not given a phone break during a team.
You're not supposed to be
a meeting.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be doing your personal stuff during work. You're supposed to be working. It's like if someone was at an office job or something, and you're in a office meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about stocks or, I don't know, whatever, office stuff. And you're talking about how the paper sales and crap like that. And you're just like, okay, everybody, 15-minute phone break, and then we'll come back. And then they do it over and over again. It's just, it gets people's heads off topics. And it's just, it won't help, I don't think. People are going to forget plays, forget their schemes, and just look at their phones, focus on that, and things like that. And you don't want that, especially just during film sessions. And it will be a film. It will be like 30 minutes, and it will be like take a break, and then they'll get their they'll get their heads off of it. And overall, I think that will make the Cardinals not that good this year, even if they get possibly pretty good players. I don't see the Cardinals being good in the first year anyways, but I'm sure Larry Fitzgerald has to have something to say about this. I don't think he would really approve being the veteran leader that he is, but I'm sure the new age guys love it. I kind of disapprove. I don't think that Cliff is doing the right thing here. All right, on to the next one. So this week was at the NFL league meetings, and they did a lot of stuff. So now they approved a thing that pass interference could be challenged.
And obviously this is due to the call that was made in the Saints-Rams game.
Yeah,
and the
very controversial.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good thing. This could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing, because pass interference basically happens on every play. You look at a play, a pass play, there's going to be a PI somewhere, like a little across the field. They don't call it every single time because you can't call it on every single play. So I feel like if this isn't stated, we're going to have to look at it in the preseason and things like that. But people are going to call, the coaches are going to do their challenge flags like all the time. And I just don't want that to happen. If they use it only in specific reasons where it's very obvious, I'd love to see that.
I think challenging a no call on a pass interference should only be allowed in, say, the last 5 minutes of the half.
Yeah.
And the last 5 minutes of the game.
Mm.
Just because that's the crucial point of when things are really going to start like coming together. And being able to challenge a call that was made and trying to overturn it, that I don't see an issue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't want to make, like, pass interference reviews are going to make the games longer. Yeah. And the MLB has been running into problems because they've been trying to shorten games with pitch clocks and stuff because people aren't watching them because they're too long. And I don't think the NFL really is going to suffer that much, but if pass interference challenge flags keep going like every 10 plays and it stops the rhythm of the game,
yeah,
then people are going to stop watching.
Or you set you get like your normal challenge and then you get one pass interference challenge per game or two pass interference challenges per game.
Yeah, that would be perfect. I think they really need to edit it. It's a good start, but they're going to have to edit
it. It's a good idea, but the coaches in this league are so smart. They're going to be able to pick apart every single flaw in this rule.
Yeah, they need to really do it right if they want to do it, and it's too early right now. They need to think it out, but I'm just surprised that's the only thing that they came to. So on opening day, the 7 o'clock Red Sox-Mariners game for opening day in MLB, Alex Rodriguez was in the booth and he was talking about Ichiro, and he was talking about stories about Ichiro since Ichiro just retired and things like that. And he said that he only met two people ever that said that they wanted to play till they were 50, and that was Ichiro, and the other was the New England Patriots' very own Tom Brady. And now Tom Brady's been recorded saying he wants to play till he's 45, and everybody's kind of thought that was the benchmark for him for a few years. Everybody thought nobody really thinks he's going to make that much. I don't think he's going to go till he's 45, maybe 43, 44, around there. But Rodriguez, I don't think he's lying. I think Tom definitely did say.
I'm sure he said that. It just depends on when he said that.
I don't think he's like.
Would have said that.
Means
recently.
I think he means that he wants to play till he's 50, but he's not going to play till he's
50. Yeah, another 9 years of playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
In a Patriots system that seems to be kind of degrading every year and somehow gets to the Super Bowl because of Tom Brady.
Yeah, the Patriots are going to force him out, I would think, by then. They've been wanting to restart for a long time by drafting Jimmy Garoppolo and things like that. They've wanted the restart.
Yeah.
And I think I'm sure Garoppolo bees.
I'm sure the reason why Garoppolo was traded was Brady probably gave them an ultimatum and said, you restart your franchise and you take Garoppolo and you start him now, or I leave, or you keep me and you trade him.
Yeah, and Brady's just too good right now still, and they didn't expect that. Now, Tom Brady, he could be going till he's 50. I don't think he's going to go to it till he's 50, but this year in the draft, I think they're going to take a quarterback, and he's going to be the successor. Whether it's Will Greer, Tyree Jackson from Buffalo, guys like that, I think Will Greer is probably the obvious choice, but yeah. All right, so other signing news. Buccaneers signed Blaine Gabbert, kind of unimportant, replacing Ryan Fitzpatrick, who signed with Miami as the Buccaneers' backup quarterback. The Bills released running back Chris Ivory, who was the backup to LeSean McCoy. Eagles signed former Green Bay Packers tight end Richard Rodgers to a two-year contract. It's pretty good for them.
Yeah.
Getting a nice little backup there for Zach Ertz. The Raiders agreed to a one-year deal worth $4.1 million with linebacker Brandon Marshall, along with a one-year contract to former Jets running back Isaiah Crowell. So they add a nice running back in there for the Raiders. Marshawn's a free agent, I think, right now. I don't think they're really going to take him back. They might draft a running back this year, but Isaiah Crowell, a nice little placeholder there, and signing Brandon Marshall, another good linebacker for their defense that desperately needs good players on there.
For Khalil Mack.
Yeah, well, he's not really a Khalil Mack player, but definitely
they need
not.
Someone to step up.
They need defensive players. They got Joyner, Marshall. They don't really have a lot of recognizable names on their defense. It's not a good defense. One of the worst in the NFL probably last year. And adding him is a great move for them. I think their defense, they're building up to win. I don't think they're going to build up to win next year, but definitely 2 years from now,
They might make a wild card this year.
Yeah, they might.
It's a long shot, seeing how the chemistry works, because they have so many new additions.
Yeah,
but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So moving on to more retirements, Jordy Nelson, formerly of the Green Bay Packers, and as we were just talking about the Oakland Raiders, he was released from the Raiders earlier, last week or this week, I think. I'm not sure. But Jordy decided to retire after being released. He's age 33. So a decent age for him to retire. He was a 2014 Pro Bowler, a great Packers wide receiver. It was rumored that the Patriots were very interested in him, but he wasn't really interested. I think he kind of knew he was done and wanted to go.
Yeah. The Eagles traded for Jordan Howard of the Chicago Bears for a 2020 draft pick. And I don't know how I feel about this, because I don't really think the Eagles need another decent running back. Like, they have multiple running backs that are, like, they could be bench players, they could be starters. It depends on your franchise. They still don't have a standout running back.
Yeah.
And it just adds to their list of running backs. I mean, seeing that their running back core is plagued with multiple injuries, it does make sense. And Jordan Howard does show promise as a young player coming in to the system.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to disagree with the Eagles not needing another running back. Because Jay Ajayi, their starting running back, he's in free agency now, and they're kind of moving on from him now. And the former Miami Dolphin, Jay Ajayi, he was so good. Then he went to the Eagles and he kind of fell off. But now the Eagles trading for Jordan Howard. It's a very good move on their part for them, because
I don't really know if it was a great move for Chicago.
No, Chicago's part of that was not good. I think
Jordan Howard is a pretty good running back.
Yeah, and Tariq Cohen, he's good and all, but him on the ground versus Jordan Howard on the ground isn't as good. Howard had a down year last year, but ton of potential. He's a better runner than Tariq Cohen. Cohen's more diverse and all that, but
better out of the pass game.
Yeah, you need Cohen can't be a true number one, I don't think. You need Cohen and someone else, and letting go of Jordan Howard is just an idiotic move. We're not sure what the 2020 draft pick just is yet, but all we know is that it is a 2020 draft pick. I think they obviously could have gotten more for him, but Eagles kind of getting a bargain for Jordan Howard.
And back to what you're saying about Cohen not really being a number one, I see him as almost what James White was for the Patriots when they had Deion Lewis and in James White's first couple of years with the Patriots, and how they really only used him in the pass game.
In the pass game, yeah. They're very similar players, I'd say. Cohen's more of a streaker type guy. He's more of a faster guy, makes fast cuts. He's more flashy and things like that, where White's more of a kind of slowed down, controlled, and he just picks up the yards he can get. So, Patriots news. A lot of Patriots news, and then we'll get on to some Cowboys news and things like that. So, earlier this week, Greg Schiano, who wasn't officially announced as the Patriots defensive coordinator, but it was widely known that he was. A lot of people were reporting that he was. He stepped down as the defensive coordinator of the Patriots to spend more time on faith and family, end quote. So Schiano steps down. Patriots lose Brian Flores as the defensive coordinator. Then they hire Schiano, unofficially, but it was widely known that they did. And then he steps down.
I really don't know what they can or will do. I'm sure Bill Belichick will figure out a way, but I don't know. It's another blow to the Patriots that was not really expected, but almost, I don't know.
Yeah, they just they lost a lot of defense coordinators before, and they've been able to fill a spot. So I'm confident Belichick will fill a spot of that, but it'll be interesting to see how that goes down. They've lost a lot of coordinators. They just hired Gerard Mayo as their linebackers coach. It's pretty interesting. Maybe he's a potential candidate. I would highly – the very low chance, but since he's new
to coaching. He does know the system as well.
He does know the system very well, but new to coaching and things like that, I think they'll hire a more experienced person, but who knows. And more – Patriots news. There it is. All right. So more news on the Cardinals and the Patriots. Josh Rosen, who's been rumored as a trade asset for the Cardinals. We've talked about that a lot. The Patriots, Giants, and Chargers are the three teams interested in Rosen reportedly. And one team has offered a second round pick for Rosen, which I think is a little high. I didn't think they'd get that. But the Cardinals are holding out for a first round pick.
I really don't think Rosen is worth the first round pick. He did not prove himself last year at all. Didn't really play well.
Yeah.
But
I think the Giants front office right now is the only one that would give up a first for them with their newly acquired first round pick, which would be a horrible, horrible, horrible trade. And they really shouldn't do that. Pats aren't dumb enough to do that. Chargers, I wouldn't think they'd do that. They just signed Tyrod Taylor as the backup quarterback. So they're kind of holding him as a placeholder type guy. Not a feature, but Rosen's not going to be a Chargers guy, I would think. And Giants and Patriots are the only two, I think, in play. I don't think anybody's going to give up the first, but the Cardinals looking for a first is kind of ridiculous. Cliff Kingsbury, I have no clue what he's doing right now.
He's playing it like it's Madden.
Yeah, he's playing Madden. I don't know why they hired him in the first place. The McVay thing, it was a dumb hire. He got fired as the Texas Tech head coach in college. And then gets hired in the NFL. And this is what happens when you do that. He's making stupid decisions. He doesn't know how to manage an NFL team. He needs more experience. And he just doesn't know what he's doing at all. And I'm just really disappointed in him.
Yeah.
Overall as a head coach. So DeMarcus Lawrence apparently wants $20 million plus from the Cowboys. And the Cowboys want to make him the highest paid 4-3 defensive end on a 6-year deal, but it's reported that he wants more money than that. So DeMarcus Lawrence wants $20 million plus a year as a defensive end. And he's not even the best defensive end in the game.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't
know. There's a lot of crazy stuff.
It's the Cowboys.
Yeah. The Cowboys are probably going to end up paying him. Jerry's probably going to end up paying him. I don't know.
Jerry is very unpredictable.
If they've been dealing with the franchise tag with him for a little bit, but if they are to sign him to a $20 million plus dollar deal, I have no clue what they're doing. They're desperate. But Dallas, an interesting thing here, right after that news came out, it was reported that the Dallas Cowboys trade a 2020 sixth round pick for two-time Pro Bowler Robert Quinn from Miami, and he is a defensive end.
So maybe they're not going to re-sign DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yes.
Or they're just going to try and talk him down money-wise.
Now, Quinn isn't a permanent guy there. He's a really good player, and for a six-round pick, that's a good move. But he's more of a placeholder type guy, and they might be looking to get rid of DeMarcus Lawrence. So we're actually done with NFL now, and we're going to move on to...
still football.
Yeah.
It's the AAF.
We're going to move on to the AAF, which we haven't talked about.
It's not much, but yeah. So the AAF is in danger of kind of collapsing unless the NFL Players Association will provide players for their teams. The AAF teams, I mean, it's nice to have football in the offseason of the NFL, but there's no standout talents that are playing. Mm. I mean, Johnny Manziel is there, so that's kind of entertaining.
Yeah, and Trent Richardson.
Yeah, but there's no real standout players that are prospects trying to get into the NFL. No one putting up huge stats, dominating games, anything like that.
Yeah. So what we're basically saying, so the American Alliance of Football is what we're talking about. If you don't know what the AAF is, just because, you know, some people don't know about it, it's fairly new. But they built it up as the NFL's kind of people go there to get back into the NFL, so it's not a league competing with them. So the AAF, apparently, they want the NFLPA to provide some players for their team. So they want, like, third-string quarterbacks, things like that.
Yeah.
They want to make it a G League type thing, like the NBA has.
And kind of, like, sign a deal with the NFL, make it a G League type thing.
Yeah. So, like, your practice squad players for the NFL
would end up being players on teams in the AAF
that are affiliated with that team.
So they still get game time, and it makes sense for the NFL. Obviously, a wonderful deal for the AAF,
and it brings in more money for the AAF.
Yes.
Instead of people just sitting on a practice squad.
Yeah,
you're actually making money off of them, which is good while you're playing them. So the NFL, I think it's a good idea for them, but overall. It's scary seeing the AAF gone. A lot of people have loved it, and it's going to be sad if it does fold. But it is a possibility. So that's it for football today, and we're going to be right back after the break with some NCAA.
Hello, welcome back from the break. It is time to go over our brackets and the March Madness NCAA tournament. Alejandro?
Okay, so we'll start off with going over the recent games. So, over the weekend, we watched the Sweet 16 round of the NCAA tournament. And last night, there were several games highlighted by the Auburn upset of UNC, which we're going to start off with.
I watched the last couple minutes of that game. Did not enjoy it. I had North Carolina winning the whole tournament in a couple of my brackets. Kudos to Auburn. They played a good game.
They went off.
They're on a shooting streak. They really, when they're hitting three, they're just almost unstoppable.
And I have no clue why they're a five seed.
Yeah, they were seeded really low.
Yeah.
But doesn't change anything. They still beat the one seed.
They should be like a two seed or something. They're a damn good team. I don't see how the committee really picked them to be a five at all.
Yeah.
The only concerning, Auburn was really good from like the three and everything. That's what they've been doing. They've been forcing turnovers, playing upbeat, and shooting the three ball really well. That's what they did against North Carolina, and they beat them. The only concerning thing for Auburn was that their best player, Chuma Okeke, got injured in the second half. So and he left the game with 20 points. So that'll be concerning for the Auburn as they move forward.
He did. He was able to walk off the court. I mean, with assistance, but knee injuries are always tough to come back from, especially in a short time.
But
you
really, you really like to see him in the tournament and to see him playing for the Tigers again.
But after he did get injured, Auburn. They kept playing at a good pace. So
they won. They kept their margin, and they won by 17. In fact, they increased their margin.
Yeah, in the last two minutes, I don't think North Carolina hit like any shots, and and the Tigers just
Nasir Little literally did not score in the second half. I think he had 4 points in the first half, and he did not score in the second half. So that really brought them down. And I don't think Kobe White is the best game either.
And a lot of brackets were hurt from their finals, because a lot of people picked UNC and a lot of people picked Duke.
Yup.
Including me. All right.
On to the Duke game. Virginia Tech put up a very good fight. They were leading going into halftime by 4 points, I think.
Or, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And so, late game, 0.5 seconds left. They throw up an alley-oop almost. Best player on their team goes up, misses the layup.
Yeah, I'm in
Virginia Tech does.
And, Duke wins the game by two. Heartbreaking for all the Virginia Tech fans. I had Virginia Tech winning that game in a couple of in one of my brackets. Pretty upsetting. I was pretty excited seeing that they were putting up a good fight. And
Virginia Tech got several chances in the last 5 minutes to tie the game, and I feel like they were kind of wasteful because they didn't get in those last a minute they got at least four.
They turned the ball over a lot.
And Duke is really they're not pulling away like a lot of people thought.
Yeah, that's something to watch out for as the tournament progresses. Like in the last two games, teams that people would be thinking that Duke could blow out and stuff. They've kept it tight, so it's interesting to see how they continue this tournament.
Yeah, UCF was a one basket game, Virginia Tech one basket game. NDSU they destroyed, but that's NDSU.
Exactly. Who are they against next? They're against Michigan State, so
that'll be
a really good game. Exactly. One seed versus two seed. Mm.
That was the matchup. I put that matchup into my bracket, obviously, while a lot of people did, and I was really wanted to see that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, TJ Ward played a really good game in his matchup. Yeah.
So Kentucky also beat Houston in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, something to note from that was PJ Washington finally made his comeback for the Kentucky Wildcats. So that'll be something to look forward to.
Mm. And they've been doing good in the tournament.
Yeah, they've been playing really well without their star player. And they've really showed that they are a team effort. With a good coach and stuff, they're not a team surrounding their star player and that's it. But they show that they're a real team and they're a real threat to win this actually. So,
and another upset, number 3 seed Purdue beat number 2 seed Tennessee 99-94
in overtime
with the help of Ryan Klein, who scored 27 points on 10-for-13 in field on field goals.
And the on fire.
7-for-10 on three.
And the on fire, Carson Edwards, who chipped in with another 29.
Yeah. He was 8-for-22 and 5-for-14.
So not the best shooting splits, but, I mean, he got the ball in the bucket.
And he got the two tying free throws at the end after Tennessee fouled him on the three-point line. He missed the first one and then had to make the last two, finally made those, and forced overtime to eventually.
Yeah, and there's a controversial call at the end, Tennessee. Too.
Yeah, I think it was a foul, though. I think they should have.
Yeah, the arguments I saw against that was that he, stuck out his leg. The shooter initiated contact by, launching out his leg, which technically isn't, allowed. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't know.
I just don't like the call. I don't like the fact that we fouled them. I just don't like it.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate end for a Tennessee team that had such a good year.
Yeah, I didn't know Purdue was this good. This is my first time this year actually watching Purdue. And Klein and Edwards, those are two really good sharpshooting people. I don't know what it is with this tournament, but there's so many good sharpshooters in it.
Yeah, I had them. I had Purdue winning, but in my second chance upset bracket. So it's not like I really expected them. But I guess Carson Edwards just been on fire. The whole team's just been really good. So they've just been playing really well.
And I just think Ryan Klein, you know, he could be a good draft prospect type guy along with Carson Edwards. And I think this Purdue team could go all the way with those two players. And just they had also another good big man down there. And pretty decent, good team. I don't know who they're playing next round. Who are they playing?
They're playing Virginia.
Virginia.
That would be an interesting game.
Yeah, they're very – Virginia's very defensive.
Yeah, they're more slow-paced too. So, like, and Purdue's more faster team.
Yeah.
And they love to shoot threes. And Virginia has pretty good perimeter defense. So that would be interesting to see how they guard.
It's basically
the three ball. Yeah, the three ball and Carson Edwards especially. If see, like, they double team him on the perimeter to see if they try to isolate him or, like, what they do with him.
Yeah. All right. So we also had Florida State losing to Gonzaga.
Yeah, Florida State team was, like, a good one. It was like, very tall, very strong team that could also, like, shoot the ball on occasion, like they showed against, like, Murray State in the last round when they, like, blew them up by, like, 20. But against this game, they obviously had to match the number one seed Gonzaga, who, like, has had the number one seed for most of the year. It's been really good and has, like, NBA and has, like, NBA prospects on it, like Hachimura and, yeah, other players on it. I forgot. It was fine.
The Texas Tech versus Michigan game, I enjoyed that. I think I had Texas Tech winning in every single one of my brackets.
I had them winning in my upset bracket, which is actually a really good one.
Tech was a big upset.
Texas Tech, I think they're pretty underrated this year.
Yeah.
They're a really solid team. They work really well together.
And they're spearheaded by the NBA lottery prospect, Jarrett Culver, who chipped in 22 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists after almost getting a triple-double in the last round.
So, big player right there.
Yeah, and it's going to be Gonzaga versus Texas Tech in the Elite Eight. I'm not really sure who I want to win because I have Gonzaga winning in a couple of mine and Texas Tech winning in a couple others. So, I guess I'm happy either way, but my best bracket has Gonzaga winning that, so I guess I'm going to root for them.
Yeah.
Yep, same.
I'm going to.
I mean, Gonzaga's just Tech. Like, yeah, Gonzaga's a really good team offensively and stuff, and I expect them to win.
We also had Virginia beating Oregon and Michigan State beating LSU.
Yeah, Virginia beat Oregon like they were expected to. Oregon was a Cinderella up to now, and then they finally got knocked out by the number one seed Virginia as they were expected to. But they kept it tight, like pretty tight, considering like they haven't had Bowl the whole year or anything.
That was a really low scoring game, too.
Yeah. 53-49. It was a good like team. It was a good win for the Virginia, who's been like acting as a team the whole time. Nobody scored over 15, and they still won it. They pulled it through as a team effort. So it's been really good to see them as it progress.
Yeah. They're a low scoring team, but they still win games. They have good defense. They work well as a unit.
Yeah. Exactly.
They just work well as a unit.
So, what was the Michigan State score versus LSU?
I think it was like
Michigan State versus LSU was 80-63.
Yeah, so 63. Michigan State dismantling a really good LSU team, I think. I thought LSU was really good.
I did not have LSU getting past Michigan State, knowing TJ Ward and Cassius Winston.
Yeah.
Two very solid players.
LSU did what they could though. Tremont Waters, their point guard, who's pretty good, been really good the whole tournament, especially like cutting and everything. He chipped in 23 points, but he showed why he's not really a true point guard. He only had 2 assists. On the other side, Cassius Winston had another great game for himself, 17 points and 8 assists in 39 minutes. And the freshman, Aaron Henry, chipped in 20. And
All right, so should we move on to NBA?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so I think we're going to talk about Nurkic, Yusuf Nurkic getting injured. Yeah, that was bad.
That was a really
nasty injury.
I got flashbacks to Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, that was a really bad one.
It was almost off because it was almost like 90 degrees the way.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
And that really hurts the Blazers coming
to
the
playoffs. Legs don't go like that. That's just,
The Blazers did end up winning that game where Nurkic got injured in double overtime, a really good game to watch. But Nurkic, obviously a key part of the Blazers on their run.
Playoff quest.
Their playoff quest. And
probably going out first or second anyway.
Yeah. As well, what happened today is that well, this week, is that Damian Lillard was reportedly open to signing a Supermax with the Trailblazers.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
So he's willing to sign a long-term contract.
He's been really outspoken about those, about his loyalty to the Portland Trailblazers. So
yeah, he really seems like he wants to work with Portland, bring them a championship, and obviously he would want another star player to come in there, complete a big three with him and CJ McCollum.
Yep.
He doesn't want to move somewhere like Durant did to go win. He wants to actually stay, which is respectable.
He wants to win in the place that believed in him at first in drafting him.
Yeah. That's a good, respectable move, I think.
Yeah, so do I. Especially with all like the superstars always moving.
I enjoy that old school mentality.
Yeah, and all like the image that people are getting now for being unloyal and stuff. He's just staying there because with like Anthony Davis and everyone always wanting to like move and stuff. Him and Giannis are just like refreshing to see how they want to stay with their team.
Mm-hmm. Also, another interesting thing I thought was that Jordan Bell. It was reported that he got suspended from the Warriors, and we don't know what he charged, but he charged something to Mike Brown's hotel bill. And apparently he got suspended.
Yeah, I don't know why Jordan Bell, you can say that's over the top suspending him for a game, but I mean, it's also stupid for him because he's probably richer than Mike Brown. He's a young NBA player.
Yeah,
he just didn't want him under his name.
Yeah, and
he
then,
just didn't want the embarrassment.
And then he didn't even pay for whatever he did at the hotel. And he just put it under his coach's, one of his assistant coaches' hotel. Yeah. But like, you don't do that.
Very immature.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I do wonder what he put on that hotel bill.
Yeah,
honestly.
I do
wonder. What you put under your own name.
It's probably will be unknown forever. But all we can do is speculate. So also what happens this week is that the Spurs retired Manu Ginobili's jersey.
Oh, yeah. Well deserved.
Well deserved. A great career for Manu. One of the greatest foreign players of all time. And just a great, great player. So, moving on to the Celtics, it was reported that from the DeMarcus Cousins game, the Celtics...
Yeah, you mean the Warriors game?
Well, the Warriors game.
Yeah.
What I was talking about. Yeah. So, anyways, the Celtics, a fan was banned 2 years for saying the N-word to DeMarcus Cousins during that game.
Very immature.
Very horrible.
Sure, he was probably drunk.
But. Yeah. Still, I think that's the right thing to do for the Celtics. Acting like that.
Especially with all the, like the things surrounding the racial problems in the NBA right now, you'd have to do it. Like they felt the pressure. They had to
yeah.
do something about it.
It was just really
you don't do that.
Tough.
Yep.
Obviously, right move. We've seen this a lot lately with Russell Westbrook at the Jazz game and things like that. So it's good that the NBA is finally reacting to this.
Well, the Celtics did themselves. Like the Celtics organization has.
Yeah. Well, it's good that the NBA teams are finally reacting to this.
Yeah,
that
they recognize this is a problem and actually do something about it.
Yeah, and they're
trying to stop it. I feel like they've ignored it in the past.
Mm. So we're actually – I just want to talk about one thing really quick from the MLB. The Mets – Jacob DeGrom signed a 5-year, $137.5 million deal with the Mets. So he's the pitcher for the Mets. Good deal for them. They don't have Syndergaard. They might have Syndergaard locked down, but good pitching core. They keep it intact from that. And do you guys want to move on to soccer?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
So kind of a funny thing to start off with for soccer. The Venezuela national team, their equipment manager forgot their uniforms and they had to go out and buy $11 hiking shirts from a local sports store to wear in their game.
Which is embarrassing.
Very embarrassing.
I didn't hear about the story until now, but that's kind of funny.
It's just entertaining.
You'd have to say that I think seeing a Venezuela, like, this is a professional international team
exactly.
that represents the country. To have Someone forgot the jersey for them to wear.
I don't know if the kid manager is going to keep his job for much longer.
Yeah, no.
I think he'll get fired.
Because, I mean, like, the Venezuelan, they can literally just hire, like, any person to do that job.
It's his one responsibility and what he's hired to do, and he failed.
It makes sense if he's for something else, like, maybe towels or, like, I don't know, something else. But, like, the jerseys, like, that's what they wear.
That's the main thing.
They wear that every single day. You feel, like, wristband, nothing. You just feel the jerseys, what they're wearing. What's used to identify them. And I would guess maybe they had to put something over the hiking jerseys so they had numbers and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just embarrassing.
Yeah, and Cristiano Ronaldo is going to sit out 3 league games in order to be fit for the Champions League. Makes sense.
This is happening.
Ronaldo
got injured during a Portugal game during the international break, the latest international break.
So... Obviously, Juventus trying to make that deep Champions League push. Ronaldo, obviously, unstoppable in the Champions League. That's just how it is. It makes sense from Juve seeing how far atop the Italian league they are sitting in the tables. And, yeah.
Yep.
So, Real Madrid are planning on selling Gareth Bale, or I don't know if they are planning on it, but they have intent to sell him because he was promised a big move, so obviously trying to make more money, free up some space to sign a big contract for a big player, maybe even 2.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much to trust it because there's just been a lot of rumors. These rumors have been going on for like years of wanting to sell Bale and Bale United. Like, I've seen too many of them. I don't know how much.
I think these ones might be pretty legitimate.
It's more intriguing because Zidane's coming back.
Yeah.
They never had a great relationship, but I mean, and there's been more rumors about Bale's like relationship with like the other players and the locker room and stuff.
And now seeing that they're really relying on him to score goals, and he hasn't been able to do that for them.
Yeah.
Mm.
He started off really well, but then he just fell off. And his injury problems have been problems for years. He's never been reliable. I mean, he stepped up in the big games like he did in the Champions League last season and stuff, but I mean, I don't know. And then Vinicius also had a good year before he got injured. So I guess Real Madrid just wants to get the team also younger and freshened up.
And the fill-in for the Manchester United manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I don't know how to pronounce his name. he signs a 3-year contract with Man United. They went undefeated for the first 10 games of his management there. They've won 14 out of the last 19.
Yep, and he's given more chances to like the younger players that were exiled during Mourinho's reign. Like, he gave Pogba a new role in the team, and he also gave Rashford the starting role over like Lukaku and stuff, and also integrated more Martial into the lineup.
Mm. And he's just been a really good manager, giving people more opportunities, as you said.
Trying to develop their young stars.
Exactly. Yeah, and he's gotten them through the UCL a little bit.
They're not going to beat Barcelona.
No, they won't beat Barcelona.
No, but this was to be like, this was the come. It had happened. Like, everyone was speculating. Like, he played really well with as an interim manager, so they had to sign him as their official manager.
Mm. I was surprised it took this long for them to sign
him. Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe they were negotiating stuff. You don't know.
Yeah.
Because you might have been like asking for more. They wanted more, a bigger sample size or something. But I mean, they signed it. So.
Also, the Manchester United kit, more news related to Manchester United. Apparently, their 2020 kit was leaked.
It looks just about the same as most of their other kits. It's got the solid red, but the
logos,
the
like
main change is they changed the crest of the club to a black background with gold lining.
So that, pretty interesting. I think
it usually happens every year.
Yeah,
I don't know where I read it, but I also think that Juventus one got leaked, and I think I saw a photo of it. It was just like, it was looking pretty cool. It was like a black on one side, white on the other side, and then like a pink stripe. So yeah. I like that one, but
I like the design of the Man United one.
I've seen other kits been leaked in the past, and some of them do come out. So I mean, it could be the real one.
It could be the real one, but yep. Obviously, you know, it's just speculation.
Yeah,
exactly.
So for our last
segment,
It's UFC.
It's one person.
Conor McGregor.
It's Conor McGregor. So he announces his retirement from the UFC at the age of 30 years old.
After trying to get into another fight, but they really couldn't figure out when they were going to do it or anything, so he just retired.
Obviously, he was near unstoppable for most of his career leading up until he was about 28. Lost to Mayweather and then lost to Khabib.
Yeah.
And career kind of, I wouldn't say it fell off. He's still a great fighter.
He still has the
superstardom. He lost the last two fights he was in.
Mm-hmm.
And police in Ireland are investigating Conor for an accused sexual assault. I really don't think I believe it. I don't know.
I think they're just trying to get dirt on him when he retired. This is how it is now, nowadays. Whenever someone gets something good, they have to leak something on them, like Kevin Hart with the Oscars and crap like that. When McGregor retires and he's big in the news, someone pops that out, and it's really just a shame. So that's all we got for today for Sports Report Podcast. Tune in next week.
Okay, no. We're going to add a final thing.
Final thing.
So today's soccer games. Yeah. Dortmund won their Bundesliga match today against Wolfsburg 2-0, a game that Marco Reus didn't participate on due to the expected birth of his first child. So congrats to Marco Reus. But his team won. So and then Bayern tied against Freiburg 1-1. Freiburg had a lead in that game originally, but yeah, they tied. So now Dortmund goes top of the Bundesliga table by 2 points, something they'll have to maintain, something I want to see because it'd be refreshing after Bayern's won like the last six or so leagues. So it'd be really great to see this fast tempo young Dortmund team win it for once. But they'll have to keep on pushing and playing like that. And it was really good to see them play really well without their captain and main veteran, best player. And they'll have to stay up there because they are behind on a goal difference. So they have to win on points if they win this title. In the Premier League, Manchester City won 2-0 against Fulham, which does put them back on top of the Premier League table by one. Liverpool plays Sunday, but that would put them one game ahead again. So right now, they play the same amount of games, Manchester United, Manchester City, and Liverpool, and they're tied on 33. And they're tied at, not tied, 31. They're tied at, they play 31 games each, and they have 77 points and 76 points, respectively. So Liverpool right now, having played the same amount of games, is behind. So they could go ahead by winning against Tottenham, but it'd just be momentarily, while Manchester City is one game behind.
And in the table, Manchester United has passed Arsenal. But
they have,
Arsenal has yet to play their 31st game. Yep. So really hoping Arsenal gets the win, stay 2 points above Manchester United. So
So again, we'll see what Liverpool does against Tottenham. They haven't been in their best form. They've won 3 out of the last 5, and the other 2, they've tied. But Manchester City has won all of their last 5. So I expect a good game out of Liverpool versus Tottenham. Arsenal will be against Newcastle, and Cardiff will be against Chelsea. And Chelsea and Arsenal are trying to make that push for the last Champions League spot with Manchester United right now. So that's it.
All right. So just before we end, we actually have breaking news. So Johnny Manziel this is Saturday. Johnny Manziel has exited with a concussion in his second AAF appearance. So not good for Johnny Manziel, but that will be the end of the Sports Report Podcast. We'll see you next week when we film episode 5.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Make sure to send us any messages on Instagram, Twitter, and let us know if you want us to talk about anything else.
And also we were just accepted, so you can see us on Spotify, Breaker, and apps like that. So go check, and still on Anchor. So go check us out there.
And have a nice day.
Have a nice day.
Thank you.